Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. And traffic around Greater Boston is at a tipping point. Those aren't my words. That's the conclusion of a recent state congestion study. Governor Charlie Baker has resisted ideas like congestion pricing to reduce traffic, but he says he may support a different idea, manage toll lanes. Here he is speaking at a press conference earlier this month.
While drivers have a choice to commute in a faster lane for a cost, drivers who remain in the untolled lane will also experience lighter volume from those who peel off for the faster lane.
So manage toll lanes. Are they the answer we're looking for? Here to discuss is Chris Dempsey. He's the director of the nonprofit Transportation for Massachusetts, and he served as Assistant Secretary of Transportation in the Patrick administration. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you.
And also with us is Charlie Chipio, Senior Fellow at the Pioneer Institute and Head of Chipio Strategies. Charlie, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here.
And call us. We want to hear from you. Would you pay more for an express lane if it made your commute faster? Do you worry these lanes are going to create a two-tiered system between those who can pay and those who can't? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So, Charlie Chipio, let's start with you. First, just walk us through what exactly is a managed toll lane.
Well, a managed toll lane is a lane that when you're driving, you can choose to enter that lane. And if you enter that lane, you are, or at least you should be, if it's run right, guaranteed a faster trip. But you have to pay for it. And obviously, you would know up front how much more you'd be paying. But that's basically the idea that you're willing to pay for a faster trip.
And what exactly is the Baker administration proposing right now?
Well, I think what they're proposing is, I'm really not 100% clear on what they're proposing, because really the way that I think it would work the best is something Chris and I have been involved in previously, where, you'd have guaranteed travel times, but there would be, how much you would pay would depend on the demand at that time. Since the governor does not really like this idea of congestion pricing, I think the idea would be that you would just, pay. I think he's throwing around the numbers $2 or $3 more, in return for being able to have a faster trip.
And I think right now it's just a feasibility study at
this
stage.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so there's a lot of questions about, will they take HOV lanes and use them as the toll lanes? Will they build new lanes? There's a lot of things that are being thrown around that are not really completely clear yet.
And so it doesn't necessarily sound like you think it's the right idea, Charlie?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I think it's a good idea. It's not the idea. It's not by itself going to change things. I think that it could be one piece in a number of things that I think we have to do to try to address this congestion problem.
Okay, Chris Dempsey, let's turn to you. What do you think?
Well, let's start with some common ground that we have with the governor on this. First of all, we're glad that he is now recognizing the extent of the congestion problem. It's the worst in the country. We hold that title, and that's not a good title to have. I think second, we appreciate that the governor has ordered this report, and it's done a good job of sort of stating that problem.
This is
creating
that transportation
some good data,
report from a couple weeks ago.
The congestion report from about a week and a half ago. Yep. And we also like that the governor has now embraced the concept of pricing and tolling, which is a really unfamiliar concept in Massachusetts, but it's very well used in other parts of the country. In fact, of the top 10 largest metropolitan areas in the country, Greater Boston is the only one that does not use some sort of pricing to manage congestion. So we're way behind the game. Now, here's the important distinction that we have with the governor on this. He talked about managed lanes as a way to add new highway lanes and then only price or toll those new lanes. And we think that's a mistake.
How come?
Because what that will do is actually encourage more traffic and more driving. So here's an example. Think about if we added a managed lane to Route 1 south heading north into the city from, say, Duxbury or Marshfield up to Braintree and then into Boston. All that will do, adding a lane there, even if it is managed, all that will do is just send more cars to the Braintree split and to 93, which today is moving at something like 10 miles an hour at rush hour. So you're only going to move that bottleneck around from sort of further down the South Shore right into the Dorchester and Braintree area. And we don't want to see that happen.
Charlie, do you agree with Chris's assessment there?
Most of it. I think that there... I'd like to see what would happen if we could just try to do this with HOV lanes. If that, actually, let me back up. I completely agree with Chris on the idea that it would be more powerful if it were done in concert with congestion pricing. I think that that would, that would certainly have a greater impact.
And just to clarify, that's pricing goes up at different times of day.
Up and down, depending on the demand.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So I do agree with that. And that's perhaps the biggest thing. I think that, if we're just going to do this by itself, I think it's better than nothing. I guess my overarching concern about this is that, as part of a bigger picture, obviously we need to, and a lot of work's being done to try to make the T work better. There's a whole lot of pieces of this. I guess I'm not, if we're trying to do all of these things, I would not automatically be against using this in conjunction with some new capacity as mm-hmm. long as it's told this way and there is the pricing element to it. So I guess that is the area where Chris and I might take a little different view, but I largely agree with him in terms of the congestion pricing idea and how important that is to make this work.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Maureen from Roslindale. Go ahead, Maureen.
Hi, I just want to call and echo some of the things that Chris Dempsey said, and I do not work for his organization.
Okay.
I'm concerned about climate change.
We're hiring, Maureen, so if you want to join.
I don't think we need to encourage more people driving. Given the concern about climate change, let's not add another lane. Let's not make it easier for people to drive. Let's work on our major transportation infrastructure of a T system. I yesterday went to go from Forest Hills to North Station to catch the beach train, we call it. And what should have been a 20-minute ride because of busing, shuttle busing, and different stations closed, it took me an hour and 15 minutes.
Maureen, yeah.
Train.
Yeah, that hurts. And keeping the T in the middle of this conversation, too, because, there's a broader context here. Thanks for that call, Maureen. I want to add one more. Marie from Framingham. Marie, go ahead.
Hi. I think the fast lane is a great idea, but I think everyone will want the fast lane. I think if you don't go for the MBT, if you don't go for the MTA change, I think that, the state should pay the employers more money for their employees to have a staggered workday. And the ones that start really early get more money.
Thanks, Marie. That's great. I appreciate the addition. Chris, I'm going to bring another voice in a second here, but let me just say, where are employers in this and what are their obligations to help manage congestion with their employee base?
I think they play an important role, but it's also important for us to remember that we want a transportation system that works for our economy, not an economy that has to move around a failed transportation system. And so the telecommuting idea has a lot of interest from people. It's an attractive idea. One of the problems with it is that it doesn't really scale. So the governor's proposing to give a credit of $2,000 or $2,500 per person, per worker, per year. And the problem with that is that if that program is successful and you want to double it, it costs you the double amount of money. Transit is different. Transit does scale because the contribution that the state makes to the T every year is basically flat. It's basically the same. And what that means is that as that service gets more successful, the subsidy per rider actually goes down. And that's the economics that we want to create broadly across this region, is we want transit to be really attractive and actually reduce that subsidy per rider. Telecommuting is not really going to get us there.
All right, let's add another voice. David Wickard is the transportation reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. In Atlanta, they have implemented managed toll lanes. He joins us on the line now. David, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, so David, when did Atlanta first do this?
We got our first managed lanes in 2011.
So it's been about 8 years. How many lanes total do you have now?
Well, we've had four projects. We now have about 67 miles of lanes, and we're on our way to having 120.
Wow. When will the 120 be done?
About 10 years.
Okay. So about 120 over a period of nearly 20 years.
Right.
Okay. So how much does it cost to use one of these managed toll lanes on average for a trip?
Well, it depends. It obviously depends on the time of day. The idea is that the worse traffic is, the higher the toll. So, and that's actually how they work. That's how they quote, manage the traffic. The idea is to discourage enough people from using the lanes so that the traffic in those lanes keeps moving. This morning, I checked at about 8:30 a.m., sort of the height of rush hour. If you would have traveled on Interstate 85, the entire 25-mile segment of those lanes, it would have cost you $16.50.
Okay.
Now, almost nobody does that. I mean, people are using much shorter segments. Not everyone lives that far out. The average toll paid on I-85, and this is a few months old, but $3.44.
David, what does the research show about whether it's working? What do we know?
Well, we know we're for sure getting a short-term effect. And I'll talk about some lanes that opened last year on I-75 northwest of Atlanta. Traffic in those toll lanes is moving about 18 miles an hour faster than in the free lanes. However, there's been a positive effect in the free lanes as well. Traffic there is moving about 40 miles an hour, which is twice as fast as it was moving the year before.
So that's pretty significant.
Now, that's pretty significant. The question is, how long will that last? We don't know the answer to that, but in my discussions with researchers, certainly the improved times in the free lanes won't necessarily last.
And why is that? Because there'd just be pent-up demand will eventually fill in the excess capacity? Is that what you're saying?
That's part of it. And part of it is if you're in a booming metro area like Boston or Atlanta, you're just going to keep growing.
All right. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And David Wickert, stay with us, please. Steve from Gloucester, go ahead.
Hi. My comment is just a question about the managed lanes and what happens when...
Oh, we lost you there, Steve. All right, let's see if we can...
Let me turn the radio off. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Let me try again. I'm sorry. My question is regarding the managed lanes, what happens when people get into them who are not driving up to the promised speed, and then there are people behind them whose road rage increases because they paid extra to be in those lanes?
All right. So let's first ask David Wickert, have you seen evidence of concerns about speed in the lanes, you know, speed by choice versus speed by traffic?
I certainly hear individual people complaining about it. I'm not aware of any road rage incidents. That doesn't mean they haven't happened. But, hey, when you get the chance to go as fast as you want, you know, in some of these lanes at rush hour, there's a tendency to want to go really fast, and some people just don't want to go really fast, and I think some people do get mad about that.
So, Charlie, that raises an interesting question. Is this about relieving congestion, or is this about creating a space where if you pay for it, you get to go as fast as you want?
Well, I mean... I guess it depends on how you look at it, right? I mean, on a macro level, it's about a lot more than saying I'm going to pay and get to go as fast as I want. I think I would agree with what Chris said. You know, we have for way too long been in a situation where rather than facilitating economic growth, we've had a transportation system that's sort of been a wet blanket that gets thrown on it. So, I mean, that's the bigger issue. But I think, you know, on a daily basis, as long as these lanes are inhabited by humans, you're going to have these issues where people are going to say, I paid, I want to go fast, this guy's holding me back. I mean, you know, those are going to be issues that have to be dealt with, absolutely.
1-800-423-8255 to join our conversation on managed toll lanes. Paul from Danvers, please go ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, my point is traffic's only going to get worse and worse. Got to move the infrastructure, try to take people out of Boston, build another airport, bring money into the state, put tolls on 93, 95. Big cities all around us have two different airports. Try to get the people out of Boston.
Thanks for that, Paul. Let me turn to Chris Dempsey. So Paul's saying we got to decentralize some of this, open it up. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, so I like a lot of what Paul was saying, but I'm not sure that the answer is to spread things out, because what happens is people live in households of more than one person. And so maybe you move out to the suburbs and you're near your job, but your spouse, they have to commute into the city, or they have to commute to the north side of the city and you live on the south side of the city. And that actually makes things worse. So the research shows that you actually want to have mixed-use communities, and you want that density. That will actually reduce congestion. It's a little bit counterintuitive because
What is mixed-use community mean?
That means that on the same block, you might have a commercial space to buy groceries, you might have an office space to work, and you might have residential space to sleep all in one place.
Thanks. Go ahead.
People see these glass towers going up in the Seaport or in downtown Boston, and they say, well, it's all those new people that are causing that congestion. But actually, a lot of those folks are walking or taking the T because they live in those dense places. It's when we spread things out that we actually get more driving and then we get more congestion.
So let's come back to this concept of the managed toll lane for a minute. Sometimes they've been given euphemisms like Lexus lanes or velvet rope option. Basically, you know, that the rich can afford to use them while everyone else gets left in bad traffic. Earlier today, we spoke with Mike Lindblom. He's a transportation reporter like David Wickert is, but he's at the Seattle Times where they've also done some of this. He's covered the implementation of managed lanes. Let's listen to what he says.
There are always some legitimate beefs with this. One thing being the so-called velvet rope theory that society in general is becoming more discriminatory against low-income people and more regressive and more stratified. And this just puts it in your face if you're driving and can't afford $10 to get yourself out of traffic.
David Wickert, journalist in Atlanta. Were these concerns present in Atlanta when the managed toll lane started, and do these equity issues remain a part of the conversation there?
They're definitely a part of the conversation and have been from the beginning. There is a professor here at Georgia Tech who has studied, you know, our first set of lanes that opened back in 2011, and he found that people of all incomes use those lanes. But the people who use them most consistently tend to be higher income. Now, you know, the state will say, but you don't have to use them all the time. You know, you might only use them when you're running late, and that is the way a lot of people use them. You know, they don't use them every day, but they use them when they need to. Now, that said, there are long-term concerns about these lanes. As traffic increases, as Metro Atlanta or Metro Boston continues to grow, you're going to have more traffic regardless, which means to keep those lanes moving, you're going to have to keep raising the rate to keep the traffic moving at the same speed. One example of this, in Washington, D.C. last year, there was a segment of toll lane that one way cost you $46. Now, most people, you know, a lot of people can't afford $46.
So we've got a caller, actually, who wants to talk about willingness to pay the price. 1-800-423-8255 if you want to join as a call. Neil from Whitman, go ahead.
Hi. You've been talking a lot about multi-tiered queuing, which is very similar to the Fast Pass at Disney or pre-check at an airport. But my question is, what's your opinion of metered on-ramps? Thank you.
So, Charlie, do you have a thought about metered on-ramps? And can you explain what it is?
I'm going to leave that one to Chris, I think, because I know a little bit about them, but I don't know enough to really have an informed opinion.
Chris,
so the governor's report looked at this a little bit, and they sort of said, you know what, it probably makes more sense to do pricing rather than metered ramps. What a metered ramp is, and it's very common in places like Southern California, is there's actually a red light at the on-ramp to the highway. And the light only turns green when there's space on the highway for more vehicles. And so rather than sort of queuing or waiting in line by price, you're waiting in line by time and you're sort of sitting on the on-ramp and you're trying to manage the flow of the highway that way.
That sounds awful.
And it's really a concept out of the 1980s when that was the sort of latest and greatest technology. Now that we have these gantries where you can toll without having to have people stop at a toll booth, that's sort of where this industry has gone, and that's probably a better approach.
All right, I want to get one more call in. 1-800-423-8255 is the number. Garfield from Salem, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I see this just as a slippery slope for our society. I mean, it starts with these speed passes and tolls, but what happens when it becomes, a speed pass for an emergency run? Somebody with the extra money gets medical treatment before somebody that doesn't.
Garfield, that is such a disturbing question, but I actually think it's a fair one. Charlie, Garfield's painting a not implausible dystopia there. So how do we avoid falling off that cliff?
Well, I have to say, I think there's a very long way between this and that. And, I think that the key to it is, once again, that we need to, it's going to take a lot of different ways to solve this problem. We need to think about how this fits in to a larger picture. I think that taking a market-based approach to fixing this problem, you know, there, it's not perfect, mm-hmm. right? But I think it's the best way to be able to move forward, because I think that, you know, trying to tell masses of people what to do, I think history has shown that we do better by doing it with incentives. But indeed, the bigger picture is that we have to use a bunch of different inputs to make this system run better, so we don't get to that kind of point.
Chris, go ahead, Adam.
So Garfield is painting a really inequitable and scary picture, and I would say that's the picture that we have today. I like to talk about the 111 bus, and let's remember that bus service serves 400,000 riders every day in Greater Boston, three times as many as take the commuter rail. The 111 bus itself serves 12,000 riders, mostly low-income workers in Revere and Chelsea that are commuting to downtown Boston. And that bus leaves every 4 minutes, so the T is providing really good service on that bus line. But then it gets on the Tobin Bridge, and it gets stuck in traffic, and it will take that bus 45 minutes to go 2.7 miles. That's an average speed of less than 4 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That is the inequitable status quo today. And things like managed lanes or congestion pricing will get that bus moving faster, giving those blue-collar workers who are paid by the hour more time back to work or be with their families, and make our society a much more fair and equitable place.
And unless you think that happens just here, I mean, Chris is right. In a piece I was doing a while back, I ended up writing about a so-called express bus between Staten Island and Manhattan that ended up literally taking hours either way to get there. Chris is right. This sort of is the dystopia that we already have to a certain degree today.
All right. I want to get kind of last thoughts from each of you. And I think, Charlie, I'll ask you, since you just spoke. There's strategic, there's what's doable, and then there's what's doable right now.
Right.
What should the Commonwealth's highest priority on transportation be in your mind right now?
Well, the Commonwealth's highest priority on transportation right now should be to continue doing the work it's going to do to fix the T. Now, the place where I'm going to come out saying things that are going to be unpopular is that I think that there's a lot that we're talking about that we're to fix the T, but the things that nobody wants to talk about is the things that a lot of people don't want to do, which is that to deal with truly how dysfunctional a place the T is.
Itself, the management, et cetera.
Yes, the management, the labor issues, they are completely out of control. And that's the third rail that, in my view, you can't fix it unless you address those issues. And all too many elected officials would go anywhere but there.
Okay. And Chris Dempsey, assuming that managed toll lanes do go forward, what's the most important companion investment or investments to be doing alongside that?
So it's absolutely investing in bus service. We need, as a Commonwealth, to be thinking about moving people, not vehicles. We do not have enough space in Greater Boston to fit everyone's car. But we can move our really talented and hardworking workforce if we get creative about how we do that. So more investment in trains, but then also more investment in buses to get buses like the 111 bus serving 12,000 workers a day, getting them moving more efficiently with things like managed lanes and pricing.
Okay, just quickly, David Wickert down in Atlanta, based on your experience down there, what's something residents might not be thinking about here and they should be?
That these managed lanes are also possibly transit lines. Here in Metro Atlanta, we do have commuter buses, but we're talking about a pretty significant expansion of that tied to these lanes. Even now, before that expansion, on those I-85 lanes that opened, back in 2011, there was a study a few years ago that found that 26% of the people in those lanes are in buses.
All right. David Wickert, transportation reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Charlie Cipio, senior fellow at the Pioneer Institute, thanks.
Thank you.
And Chris Dempsey, director of Transportation for Massachusetts, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tiziana.
As we dance our way out, stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.